Greetings, true believers, and welcome to another edition of the Big Brother Happy Hour. My name is Jordan Parhar. I'm the host of this podcast in which we talk Big Brother 17 each and every week with a different guest. This week, I am joined by a man who was once known as the Enforcer. He's also a podcast host, and he's also a super fan turned house guest. It's Rob Cesternino's favorite house guest, McCray Olson. McCray, thank you so much for joining me today.
How's it going, man?
I'm doing excellent. And how are you? It's so good to finally talk to you. I love you, man.
Oh, yeah,
Getting to hang out with you in Niagara Falls a little over a month ago was so much fun. And
Such a blast. You're one of my favorites. And no shade to anyone else, but I think me and you just hung out the most. And I don't know, me and you were copacetic, simpatico. I don't know what the hell I'm saying. But we are one and the same, I think, in a lot of respects. So, I mean, you started off with a Stan Lee quote to start this thing off. True believers. that's totally Stan Lee, which it tickles my fans. So I love it. Yeah, it was Niagara was a blast, and I thanks for having me here, man. I appreciate it.
Oh, anytime, man. And actually, you're the first person to catch on to the Stan Lee reference. So thank you again. Two peas in a pod, my friend.
Absolutely.
Yes, thank you so much for joining me again, McCray. I haven't really talked to you too much about this season yet, so we're gonna have a really good conversation.
Absolutely.
And I'm super excited. But before we get into it today, there is one burning question that a lot of RHAP fans want to know, and they're curious. They want to know, McCray, apparently you think that Rob Cesternino hates you.
Oh yeah.
Now why do you think Rob hates you, and where did this come from?
You know, he I want to get into this wrestling kind of mindset. He's disrespecting me. He's disrespecting. I love Rob so much. I think about Rob as like, not the person I want to be necessarily, because I mean, who would want to be Rob? Rob has such a good like system of like podcasts and such a loyal fan base and stuff like that. I definitely like when I do my podcast and stuff, like I'm shooting for the stars like Rob does. You know, this dude paved the way for podcasting when it comes to reality television, I guess. So I definitely am like, he's my competition. And you know, so he's always throwing jabs at me. He's always barbs. Now that Sarah is in the Big Brother world, I'm not the go-to, like, oh, well, McCray's probably stoned, blah, blah, blah. Like, that's his big joke. Ooh. Like, he's always throwing barbs at me, and I'm like, man, I should be throwing barbs back at him. And I don't know. I just think I'm his whipping boy, and I don't know why I think he hates me, but I think he does. He hasn't asked me back on a show forever. He'll never will. I'd rather do your show anyways.
Well, yeah, well, that's why you're on the B team now, McCray. You're stuck with it, unfortunately.
Man, no, I was born in the B team. That's my middle name.
Well, hey, you know, it's not so bad. We're chill. We're hanging out. We're having a good time.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. So it's all good. I mean, I love Rob too, but you know what? He's the Rob that sucks, and he's a great podcast host, and I'm the podcast host that sucks. So I really suck. So I guess we both really suck together. That's why we're here. So,
exactly.
But thank you again for joining me today. It's gonna be a lot of fun. No. But let's get into this BB 17 talk here, McCray.
Absolutely.
We'll save the jabs for Rob later, perhaps.
I'll definitely think of some more.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Early thoughts in the season so far. What do you think about Big Brother 17? I know that I've seen some of your tweets and stuff like that, but I haven't actually talked to you about this. Mm-hmm. And who are you liking this season? Who are you not liking? Just general thoughts so far, McCray.
I mean, it's like the season as a whole, it started off with a huge bang. It's still going on. Like, it's still like, of course, they can't keep up the train wreck that was week one, because everyone would just be mentally collapsed by now. But saying that, I mean, it's still been an awesome season. This has still just been so much fun to watch. A lot of great gameplay. Not to disparage season 16, but this is the season that, I mean, this is the season I wanted to see after my season, I guess. And it was tough for me to be like, oh, season 16 like sucked, because it's like, is it just me comparing my season to that? Like, I felt like weird about saying that, but it seems like a lot of people kind of feel that way, and I feel like I'm not alone thinking that. And especially with this season coming out, it's just been an awesome season. A lot of great characters. Who am I liking? I mean, it's really tough for me to say because I try to like really go about this game objectively. I try to think about it. You know, I don't want to have too many favorites. I don't want to get my emotions caught up in these characters that I like. And when they go home, then I'm pissed off at the other characters that took them out. I try to stay objective as I can. That doesn't mean I don't have favorites. I mean, Johnny Mac is obviously everyone's just like out and out favorite. It seems like he's just so crazy. He's got the entertainment value. He's got this gameplay going, you know. I'm sure it's not the best place you want to be where he's at, but this dude, he's got it all right now. Again, I don't have any true favorites. Most of them are actually entertaining hamsters, you know. Most of them are like doing entertaining stuff. They're trying to be like, hey, crazy animated. You know, the people that are sitting back, like Jackie and stuff like that, sure, they're not the entertaining ones, but like they're playing good, solid game. Like, and sure, their furniture, as everyone says, but at the same time, it's like you don't have to do anything. This is the early period of the game. This is the beginning of the game. You still got the middle. You still got the ending. No reason to get yourself caught up in some shenanigans this early, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's something we'll talk about a bit in a little bit later about this whole Jackie going to sleep thing. But so let's go back. Let's talk about tonight or last night. Sorry. So Jeff is evicted by a vote of 7-4. A lot of people throwing out hinky votes the opposite way. We have Liz, Steve, Johnny Mac, and then Jackie, out of loyalty to Jeff, gives him a vote.
Wait. So. Was it Johnny Mac? Did Johnny Mac throw that vote? Did he also vote for Jeff? I thought he voted for Jeff to leave.
I'm pretty sure Johnny Mac voted for James. Maybe I have my stats incorrect.
I'm probably wrong. You're probably better at it. Yeah, I'm probably wrong. I'm probably wrong.
Okay, no worries. It happens. Anyway, we have this happen. So Jeff is evicted. Now, first off, before we get into things, I just got to apologize to Jeff. Last week, we talked about on this show, myself and Sarah Hanlon, about the whole, I prematurely talked about Baitgate with him and Julia, which we didn't have all the facts yet. Just apologies to Jeff.
And I want
to,
like that, I tweeted out that like there's three house guests that I was very disappointed in throwing out misinformation, and it was irresponsible. And I was talking about you and Sarah because I was watching here, and I was like, no, and like, I'm like, going crazy, like, you guys, like, don't do this, like, and the thing is that, like, we should kind of talk about that, because, like, you know, it's easy to get caught up in stuff like that. It's easy to get caught up in, like, the hearsay and stuff like that, and, like, I'm not faulting you, because I've been there, like, we've all been there. Everyone on the internet was a part of this, and was involved in this, like, you know, and so everyone has their share of blame, but at the same time, it's more of, like, it's like, we got to get past it. Like, everyone's got to show Jeff some love, you know, because the dude, he doesn't know what he's doing. He came into an arena that, you know, that he had no place in being in, kind of. It wasn't his area. And so he didn't know what he was getting into. And so I feel really bad. I feel nothing but just like sympathy for the dude, because my season took it hard. Like, my season's been there. So
And that's something that I wanted to ask you, McCray, is that you're somebody who has a more unique perspective on this. I mean, someone like, you know, for Sarah and myself, yeah, obviously a huge misfire on our part. And we hadn't, you know, done all the research yet. It was one of these things that it sort of came up and we just talked about it just based off of what we knew. Didn't have all the facts. Again, apologies to Jeff. Great dude. And it sucks that he's got this out there on the internet now about him. And that's awful. And I just want to ask you, because you have this unique perspective on this, because a lot of your friends from Big Brother 15 had to face this post show. What can we do to stop this? Is this ever going to stop or no?
I don't think it'll ever stop. And I don't want it to stop in a way. I mean, like the shaming and the like going about it of like, outrage, like let's call his workplace and blah, blah, all this stuff. Like that's the part that has to stop. Like we can all be like, oh, Jeff is kind of like a misogynist. I don't know. I don't want to say that either. But like he's kind of a pig. Like he says like real things that are bad, which everyone agrees with. Like even me, it's like, don't say that shit. Like that stuff, like that should be fine. Like people should say stuff like that on the show, because, you know, it's like, okay, well, that's what human life is like. Like that's in America anyways, like there still is that stuff out there. So to take that stuff away and try to like censor that from the show would not be like having this psychological experiment, you know, like in my season, like, okay, I wouldn't say that everyone was racist, but like racism is obviously still prevalent in America. And I'm kind of happy, not happy, but like it was shown on my season, like that this is still existing in America. And sure enough, 2 years later, we're still going through like this, these problems, you know, and that's what Big Brother should be. It should be this like, a cross section of America of like, this is like the nitty gritty. Sometimes there's like some bad shit that happens, you know, but like at the same time, everyone has to respect that these are people that like that, you sure they signed up for it, but you know, people say stupid shit, they want to get some laughs, and everyone wants to take everything out of context. I really think that everyone has to step back. Everyone just has to step back before they go to Twitter and just start pounding the keyboard in anger. Just step back and think about it rationally and logically, and think about it from that guy's perspective, and think about it from whoever's perspective. Everyone just has to take a long, deep breath when watching this show, because like I said in the beginning of the show, you know, your favorite gets voted out and then you hate the person that voted him out. Just take a breath, step back, and think about how they're think about it from a game perspective, why they took him out. There needs to be more rational thought in the community.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the thing you said, take a deep breath. I think that's a big thing. And I think that that's something that that's a problem, I think, with social media, is that, there's this forum in which it's readily available for you to tweet out whatever you want in anger without having a second to just kind of like breathe, calm down, and then, you know, have some time to think about it rationally and then talk about it. So I think that that's the issue that's going to happen on social media and those sorts of things. And yeah, again, big apologies to Jeff. Super cool dude, I'm sure.
Yeah. You don't have to apologize, because it's like, man, everyone ran with that story. TMZ ran with the story, then like retracted it, you know, but it's like, that's like what kind of like, there's a lot of people in the community that want to see that. So like, essentially you're like giving your audience what it kind of wants. And that's like, if you're a news outlet, you kind of have to report on what's going on in the field, you know? So it's like, you're not wrong in talking about it. So I don't know. Whatever. Jeff will get,
He'll be okay. Jeff will be okay. Send Jeff your kind words.
Absolutely.
And, you don't have to agree with everything he was saying in there, but you know what? Yeah. Everyone's human. You're going to make mistakes, especially if you're in there for 24/7, 7 days a week.
Absolutely.
Send him some love, because I think it's tough being the third one out. I mean, it's not fun being an early boot on Big Brother.
It is not.
I know from personal experience. McCray is not, but it is not fun. And, so send him your love. Now, speaking of this, you know, this parallel to Big Brother 15, there's this backlash with all this stuff with Jeff on the live feeds. Mm-hmm. We see another parallel this season. So we have week one, we see this parallel where the surfer bro Jace goes home, similar to David Gerton in Big Brother 15 goes home first.
Okay.
Now season 17, week three, again, we have this big, huge, physical, loose cannon type of guy that is named as a replacement nominee, and then he is evicted afterwards. So, McCray, you guys had Jeremy in your season. We have Jeff in this season. Now, McCray, what do you think about the move here for Vanessa and a Sixth Sense alliance in going after a big guy like Jeff? There's two sides of the house. You have an easy option in Audrey. You can easily get rid of her. Nobody would really care too much. Your season, I mean, it's a little bit different because Helen's the HOH, but if for whatever reason, you know, she decided to go after Alyssa, I don't think anybody would have been too worried, and instead goes after Jeremy, which pisses off Caitlin, Aaron. So what do you think about this move? Is this the right way to go, do you think, for Vanessa and
Audrey? I like that you are comparing it to my season, because for some reason I see those similarities too. I see all these similarities. And I was actually talking about it earlier with my mom, but I think that Audrey is the Alyssa of this season. So like, we figured out that Alyssa had MVP, and we also knew that she was a part of the Brential Army. So she would have this huge fan base. So we, in our heads, we were like, well, we should keep her along because we can weaponize her. We should, you know, just keep pushing her along because she'll always be a target for the Aarons and the Caitlins and stuff like that. So, and from what I see, I feel like they're doing kind of the similar approach where they're just like, well, let's just keep pushing Audrey along and she'll still be the target for a lot of people because everyone's going to be like, oh, well, let's just get her out. It's easy to just keep pushing her along. Sure, they can't weaponize her as much as we could with Alyssa, but I think it's the smart move, I guess. Just because it's like, if you get out Audrey this week, then you're still at odds with the other side of the house. You know, they're pretty much just trying to whittle down the numbers on that side of the house so they can't make any big, strong plays against the Secret Six or whatever they're called. What are they called? Secret.
The Sixth Sense, McCray.
Sixth Sense. Well, I keep on thinking SOS, which is Vanessa and Steve.
Yes, the Six Students of Sound.
Yes, too many S's.
No, Sixth Sense, just think. Didn't the Sixth Sense that came out in the 90s, right? And it's 90s
I think
week.
It might have been. Yeah,
90s week and BB Takeover. So
really well. Yeah.
So there you go. All these things, you know, intertwined. So we were talking. So Jeff gets evicted. There's this, Julie's interviews him and she kind of sasses him a little bit. And she says like, Jeff, like kind of like, what are you doing? And Jackie's like, she thinks it's a pit stop in the Amazing Race, all this stuff. What happened to Julie Chen? Like, when did this become Julie Chen, McRae? Because from last I recalled, this is not Julie Chen.
Chenbot has become sentient. I think that man, it's so annoying for me to keep being like, Big Brother 15. But like, I mean, one of the like worst and best moments of any Julie interview is the Aaron interview, you know, where she just rips Aaron apart. And like, for me, it hurts me because I know Aaron as a person and it makes me sad. But as a viewer of the show, I'm like, oh, Julie, like getting crazy because it's awesome. But I think that like, Julie kind of took something from that. I think that like now Julie takes heavily from social media, or not takes from it, but she like takes her cues from social media. She knows that the people want her to dog these people. And so I think she's going to kind of go out there now with a lot of these people, like, you know, people that are not like Jeff. You know, it's easy to be like, oh, you're dumb. What are you doing, dumb? Because everyone is going to go crazy on the internet and be like, Julie, Queen Julie, slay, Julie, slay. And, you know, so I think that she's definitely like, which is good to me. I think it's annoying, but at the same time, like the fact that she's paying attention to social media and like what's going on, it's kind of refreshing, but it is brutal. I don't know. I don't know where it's coming from, but damn, Julie.
Yeah, it's crazy because Julie before was very neutral and very now neutral. She is like, it's the opposite. Now it's just like, she's just ripping people to shreds. It's like, is this the same person? Like, does Julie Chen also have a twin that keeps switching out and is hosting the show? Like, I don't get what's happening. It's like,
and
it'd
be
happened?
A different story if like Julie dogged every single person that came out of that house. Like, it'd be different, but you know that like the people that are like widely loved, she's going to go out there and just softball all these questions in there. Like, it would be awesome if like Julie was doing some hard hitting investigative work, you know, but it's sadly not the case. And it's not Julie's fault or anything like that. She's just playing to the audience. So I think that, again, it's a symptom of this social media, this outrage culture. I think that it's definitely being worked into how the show is being produced now.
Yeah, that's actually a really good point. That's something that I don't think is thought about too much, but I think that that's excellent, McCray. I totally agree with you. I think that the whole social media era and everything with Twitter, and now Julie knows kind of, she has a good idea of who's really popular and stuff online and who really isn't. And now with the whole, I think part of the reason why she probably was a little bit harder on Jeff was because of all of the backlash towards him in the comments and stuff he was making. I'm sure if it was Johnny Mack who got evicted this week, she wouldn't have been like, Johnny, why would you agree to go on the block and throw the video?
Yeah. 100% she would have asked Johnny like, oh, could you also check out my you know, fillings? She 100% it's gonna be some joke like that when he walks out. 100%. But with Johnny, that's the thing that I just don't like. I don't like that, where it's like, it's so biased. I don't like that. But again, it's that's how you make TV, you know. It's not for me to say.
Yeah, exactly. And I guess this is just the era of Big Brother that we're in now, McCray. I think that
it is
90s week with the takeover. I was thinking maybe they would bring back Arnold Shapiro to be the producer for a week, even though Big Brother never aired in the 90s, but it's close enough. Back in those days, you know, Big Brother 2, Big Brother 3, you know, pre All Stars, all that stuff. I mean, you never really saw, this kind of, the game in general and all this stuff. And now it's just with Grodner and everything.
The exposure is insane. And like you kind of saying this is kind of triggering something in my mind. Ian used to say that he liked the pre All Stars, where it's like you can definitely tell there's tonal shifts in this game. And I think we're at part three of the game, like the meta of the game. Like the first one was like really innocent, and then like we started getting into like the weird 10s, 11s, 12s kind of era, and so like kind of bland and blue. Sorry everyone, season 12s. But now we're getting into this like weird like where it's like now the audience has such a bigger voice. Like they can scream from the mountaintops and they'll be heard actually now, you know, literally people's tweets are coming up on the screen. You know, it's no more call to see who you like for America's favorite, you know, it's vote online and you can vote for hashtags. I don't know what they're doing now, but like, that's what it is. We've literally moved into the third part, the third age of Big Brother. I think, what is it? The golden, the platinum. I don't know if we can say that yet, I guess, but I'm a huge first seven seasons fan.
Yeah, I'm with you too. I think, yeah, that was kind of like the golden years of Big Brother. And since then, I mean, it's been good. I mean, I've liked it. I mean, it's still one of my favorite shows, but it's just, I think there's some, I guess maybe it's nostalgia, I'm not quite sure, but the magic of those original seasons for me just hasn't been replicated in a really long time. I mean, there's been moments, but...
Yeah, absolutely. It's definitely just a shift. It's a shift in the game. It's a shift of like the way that players perceive the game when they go into the house. Like, the meta game of it all is like evolving. Like it just keeps evolving. Now it's like, oh yeah, the floaters will get to the end. Like, you know, these Victorias, Sabrinas, you know, like these people, there's nothing wrong with that gameplay, but it's like this is becoming viable strategies now, and it's changing the metagame of Big Brother. And to me, it's like I welcome it and I love it because I love to see the game change and I love to see like new stuff evolve. And so it's interesting. It's just everyone should be thinking about that.
Absolutely. Okay, let's hop back into the BB17 talk here, McCray. And one thing we touched upon a little bit earlier was Jackie and then this interview with Julie Chen. So in the interview, Julie says that Jackie thinks it's a pit stop in The Amazing Race and she's sleeping and she's a major floater, which is such a terrible word to use towards anybody. I mean, that's like saying that it's saying something bad about your mama, McCray. It's like the worst thing that you can ever say to somebody, Big Brother, according to Julie. To me, I actually don't really think that that's necessarily a bad thing. I want to hear what you think about this. Jackie has said on the live feeds that going to sleep is part of her strategy. Mm-hmm. Do you like this strategy? And as somebody, and I'm guessing you probably do, because you are somebody who in Big Brother 15, you know, you won that first HOH and then you kind of set yourself up in a position that was solid. And then you kind of did go to sleep for a bit, there's nothing wrong with that.
Absolutely. People like to throw a floater around as like with negative connotation. I also think we also have to like make this dichotomy between floater and I don't know what you would call the other thing. Just I don't know. But like a floater to me never means bad. It really doesn't mean bad to me. But to me, that means like, oh, yeah, solid gameplay. Like not getting into crazy arguments for no apparent reason. Like, whoa, darn. Just to me, like there's a difference between like entertaining players and game players, you know, like just because they're not blowing up all the time doesn't mean they don't have a strategy. Like, oh, everyone's like, oh, Jackie, she's just in summer camp or whatever. You know, it's like, well, she was in bullshit, like baloney. I think that she's playing it smart, because why get into all these fights? Why, like, obviously Jeff like wasn't sleeping anywhere and he was talking all sorts of game to everyone, like unnecessarily just it doesn't make sense to me. Just everyone should chill out. Everyone needs to sleep. Like that's solid gameplay to me. Like if you can perceive that, and from what I understand, I didn't watch her season of Amazing Race, but Spencer tells me that she got into a few blow up matches with Jeff, you know, like some fighting. And so to me, it's like, if this girl can control that side of her and she's like suppressing it actively, like bravo. Like the fact that you don't really know the game of Big Brother, but you came in and you're smart enough to sit back and just let people eat each other alive, like good job. Like I don't care if there's people like that in there, because good job. Like Godfrey, you know, like he sat back those first couple of weeks and like super smart. He knew what he was doing. Like I get that rap all the time. Like, well, you just slipped all day. It's like, what did I have to do? There's nothing to do. Like Amanda's running around the house going crazy. She's trying to put her power everywhere. Like I'm the guy, I'm good cop, 'cause I'm not doing nothing. People that say that, they just want entertainment. People that say, oh, they're sleeping, they're floaters, blah, they want like more entertainment, more drama and stuff. And it's like, well, those two, entertainment and drama and stuff like that and gameplay, usually they're mutually exclusive. Not always, but like a lot of times they are. So we have to respect the game player's choices, I guess.
No, I'm with you 100%. I think that the fact that, like you said, Jackie doesn't really know, at least it doesn't appear that she knows that much about Big Brother, yet she does understand this concept of, hey, let's lay back here, not get into fights with anyone. She's already one step ahead of the game. She's already doing it. I mean, that's huge. That is huge. And I think that she has that potential for sure, but she's holding it back and keeping it together. And I think that it's going to help her. Now, the question is, McCray, when she does wake up, is she going to be able to turn it on and potentially make a run at this thing?
Well, the other thing is that she is like a dancer. She seems very physically fit. She seems like she, when she does turn it on, like I bet she can win competitions. She doesn't have the stigma of having a person that she's known from outside the house with her anymore. You know, she, especially with Jeff going, like she can become such a sleeper, especially now. She should be sleeping like towards the middle of the game, like getting close to the end game. That's when she wakes up and just starts winning comps and starts wheeling dealing. You know, she's in the best position. I think she can turn up. She supposedly did okay in Amazing Race during some of the competitions. So, I mean, I think that she definitely has the ability to do good. I definitely think that she could make it to second place. She's looking like she's definitely slotted into that second place position that other people we've seen, Sabrina's and Victoria's. Similar type of game for sure.
Yeah, for sure. But hey, you know what? Again, I mean, who knows what can happen? And I think that, you know, everybody loves Evil Dick, and I love Evil Dick, but realistically, you can't play a game like Evil Dick and win the game unless you're Evil Dick in that season. It's such a tough thing to do.
Go on. What was that?
but you know, right? I mean, can't. I mean, that's like, that was a very unique, you know, situation and how that game went down and how, you know, how he pulled that off. That was really, to me, I don't think anyone is ever going to do something like that again.
Absolutely.
And I think that people out there who are like, oh, Jackie's got to do stuff. Well, you know what? At the end of the day, coach of the New York Jets, Herm Edwards, once said, you play to win the game. And in order to win the game, you can't be going out blowing up other people's spots, doing that kind of stuff.
Absolutely.
So you know what? The sleeping strategy, not a bad one at all.
And it goes back to my meta, though, or the meta game. Like, after Evil Dick has kind of already developed this and made this thing a thing, like, it can't happen the next seasons. Like, everyone's going to be like, Evil Dick, I know what tactic you're doing. Like the meta game has to evolve, and like people have to, like us as watchers, we have to evolve with that meta. Like, and if you're sitting back like, why isn't there Dr. Wills? Like, you know, it's just so tough to do that again. Like, everyone's gonna see right away, oh, that's Dr. Will stuff, you know, like totally Dr. Will move. You know, you can't be these characters. Like, someone's got to develop a new meta. Someone's got to be the new Evil Dick, or, you know, doing whatever strategy that's out there. And there's plenty left to be explored in the game. I don't know.
Yeah, absolutely. You got to evolve with the game. And I think that, I mean, you can look at it with sports. I think, you know, people say, oh, well, why is nobody like Wayne Gretzky in the NHL today? Well, in the National Hockey League, the rules are different. The game has evolved. There's different things. There really isn't going to be another person quite like Wayne Gretzky. There are going to be your Sidney Crosbys, your Alexander Ovechkins, these type of players, but you're never going to have this kind of player, this original Dr. Will type of guy, at least. I don't think so.
Comparing Wayne Gretzky to Dr. Will is the most awesome thing ever, because it's 100% that. It's 100% that.
Right? It is. They're the same dude. It's Wayne Gretzky. I mean, just Dr. Will is a little more charismatic, but I mean, otherwise, I mean, really, the same dude.
Absolutely. No, and that's a very good comparison. You're just not going to find players like that no more. Even Michael Jordan, you know, it's just not going to happen like that much often anymore. The game evolves.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you could say the same thing with MJ, and you know, LeBron James, those kind of guys. Like, it's you can't compare the two. It's just different. Yeah. It's a different era. Yeah.
Exactly.
But speaking of people's strategies and how they're playing the game, let's talk about someone else who's a little bit polarizing this season, and that's Austin McRae. Now, Austin, he's had times this past week on the show where he's looked really good, and there's other times where it's been really cringeworthy with the whole, like, oh, I need to fill the emptiness in my heart, like that, when the dude has a girlfriend at home. I mean, yeah. Which, I mean, hey, it happens. Now, so let's touch upon that, and then I've got another question. I actually want to ask you too, what do you do if you have a relationship before you go into Big Brother? Because I can experience this, McRae. You had to deal with this. How do you deal with this? Because this, seriously, like, what do you do? Because absolutely. He's in this weird spot now. He's got a girlfriend at home. He's in the house, and he's got these feelings. Like, he's in this weird limbo. Like, what would your advice be to a young strapping lad going on Big Brother 18 who has a significant other, or a girl who has a boyfriend back home? What would you do?
I definitely see myself as Austin, I guess, kind of, because he does have this thing. Like me, I like pretty much like broke up with Jess kind of the day before I fucking went on the show. Ooh, sorry, those words. I went on the show, you know, so it's like I kind of see it from his perspective. And I know that like Austin is a smart guy. Like, I know that he is weird and like off, and that edit last night on the episode just made it seem like he is a crazy person. But I think in my heart of hearts, he knows what he's doing. He knows that he has a girlfriend back home. He knows that it'd be cool to like come out of the show. Showmances, when they come out of the house, they have all these people shipping them. They have all this like fandom. He knows that that would be the number one best way to get a huge following. I mean, like, I don't get how I have the followers that I do, but then I realize, like, oh yeah, I remember why again. And then, you know, like, that's how you get the most fans, like, easily. That's one of the easiest ways, or if you're great in the DR. But I think that he's very conscious of it. Like, I think that he's playing it up for the cameras. He plays up everything for the cameras. This dude knows, because he's a wrestler. He knows when the camera moments are. He wants to have so much fame when he comes out. He loves the game, Big Brother, but he also has that wrestler aspect that's like, yeah, fans and this and that, you know. He wants to play that up. So I honestly think that I think that there's probably some feelings, because it's really nice to have someone in the house that you can rely on, you can trust, and you can put your just trust undoubtedly into that person. It's great feeling to have in the house, but I also know that this dude is smarter than that. He's watched the mistakes of the past. He knows all of our games inside out. He's smarter than he leads on. And I think that he's playing it up for the cameras. What would I say to people that that are going on that are like that? To me, like, the way when I went in there, I was like, you know, showmances don't always work. They rarely work. I came off of watching Big Brother Canada 1 when I went on, and I was like, you know, like, showmances can work. And so, like, to me, in my mind, I was trying to create new meta. Like, I was trying to create a new meta game of, like, oh, yeah, like, hook up with someone. Not hook up, like, woo. But, like, get with someone and then, you know, run kind of a game and see if you guys can, like, downplay the fact that you're close. Of course, it didn't happen with me. You know, it's a very tough thing, but hopefully Austin, in Austin's mind, he's trying to create a new game. Like, he's trying to be the showman's, like, Dr. Will. Of course, it's dumb. But, like, he's trying to create this new meta of this new character of, like, everyone be like, well, Austin got in a showman's. Like, it worked out for him. You know, I think that, like, me and Spencer disagree on this point totally. But I honestly think that he's smart enough to know. To be honest, I was smart enough to know, like, what I was doing. Like, I knew, like, I have Jess back home and, like, this is going to get me into so much trouble, but I knew what the fuck I was doing. I knew that, like, I would have a crazy amount of fans if I did get into a showman. I, like, oh, Macranda, of course. Like, that name just puts, you put it together and it works. It's going to be big. Like, so, I mean, yeah, and everyone's going to be like, whatever, you were so in love. But, like, to me, I think, like, if he has any, like, thought process like I did in the house, he knows what he's doing, and hopefully he can pull out of a tailspin if he needs to.
Absolutely. Now, what do you think about this alliance? So he's in this Sixth Sense alliance, and there's really, I mean, it's basically the two groups of, you have Vanessa and Austin over here, you have Clay and Shelley over here, and then you kind of have the twins over to the side, sort of. They're more so on the Vanessa and the Austin side, of course. Last week, all, you know, there was all these fights going on in the house. I mean, and because Vanessa wanted to come up with an excuse to get rid of Jeff and to nominate Jeff, and Austin was on board with this. Do you like this idea, coming up with a reason to, you know, a fake fight sort of, or just to put someone on the block, or are you not a fan of this? Do you think they can recover from this, Vanessa and Austin? Because and let me hear your thoughts on this.
The problem is that Vanessa has kind of I said it yesterday on the block, but she has acute HOH-itis, or she had acute HOH-itis, where it's like it wasn't overblown, it wasn't full blown, but like it did go to her head, and I think people definitely saw that in the house. But when it comes to like the idea of like making an excuse, like, that's brilliant, especially with everyone chomping at the bit to get out Audrey, you know, and then like have this thing where it's like, oh, he disrespected me. Like, Audrey, she'll go. But this guy, he's attacking my personal character. Like, using that and pretending, feigning outrage because of your character, like, it's brilliant to me. Like, it's super smart and it's a good excuse. Everyone in the house is none the wiser. I'm sure people have to be like, yeah, okay, whatever. But at the same time, I think it's smart to like kind of lead on the other side of the house, you know, like you have to like give them something, you know, like you can't just be like, well, of course I'm not going to do what you guys want. Duh. Like, you have to give them like an excuse, you know, whether they believe it or not is not in your hands. I think it's smart to give that excuse, I guess. I don't know. What do you think about that?
Yeah. Well, you know, I found it interesting. I like the idea of, yeah, coming up with an excuse. That is good. I can't really, I don't know, the whole, you know, just starting a fight for just for the hell of it to kind of, you know, get that going. I think that,
always,
I don't
very
know,
dangerous.
It's always a very dangerous move. And I don't know if that is necessarily the way to go with it. I mean,
and the other thing about it is like when you, like, if she's like, Vanessa's literally showing her cards to everyone. She's showing how her brain operates. She's showing how her thought process works, you know, and she's showing it off to Austin and Clay and Shelley, you know. And one of the scariest moments in the house is always like when you're lying to someone and you're with someone that knows you're lying, they get insight on how you lie. So I think that's the most dangerous thing about her doing this, is that like literally she's giving insight to Austin and Shelley and Clay that they're going to use later to take her out. They're going to know, like, let's take her out on a double because this girl's dangerous. Like, you have to be in that room and be like, whoa, she's just brutal, just savage, you know?
That is actually an excellent point, McCray. And I think for any future Big Brother players, if you're out there listening to this, I think that that's something definitely to pay attention of. If you have an alliance with somebody and you're with them, you see them lying, pay attention to how they're lying. Because, yeah, like you said, that's huge ammunition that you can use towards your advantage to later down the road in the game when you do want to cut that person. And I think that that is an excellent point. That's something definitely to consider.
Take notes.
Probably nobody like that listen to this show, but you never know. If like, you are, tweet us in the future and be like, hey, I listened to that podcast that one time. Thanks for the tip. Realistically, probably not. Now, speaking of relationships, Shelley and Clay, they're together. They're in this showmance. Now, it's sort of one of these showmances where it's more so like the, well, it's kind of interesting. It's not like quite like the Shane and Danielle Big Brother 14 showmance where it's like a thing on the show and on the feeds. It's nothing. But for this, I mean, they don't really, you know, they don't kiss or anything like that. They just hang out all the time, whatever. But we'll call it a showmance for argument's sake.
Yeah.
Now, McCray, you're somebody who was in a showmance and you got very deep into the game. What do you think about this idea? Do you think that this, again, we talked about this with Austin, this pairing, though, this is, you know, these guys are both, I think that individually, Shelley and Clay are pretty low key. I don't think they would really piss off too many people. People wouldn't want to target them. Do you think that this is unnecessarily putting a target on their back by getting into this showmance? And is this a bad idea, or are you okay with it because right now they seem to be in a somewhat decent position?
I know that there's a lot of outrage right now on Twitter of like, oh, I hate them. Shelley and Clay, they're the worst. Whoa. And like, they're not the greatest. They're pretty vanilla. I think the most dangerous thing about them, I guess, is that they look like Ken and Barbie. You know, they look so all American and stuff. For some reason, like whatever reason, for that always like plays a factor in my head where it's like they look like they're going to be loved outside this house. You know, sure, they're trying to play it down, of course, but it doesn't matter because they found each other and they are going to always be together unless they can cut ties smartly and try to like blow up at each other, create some sort of fake fight or something like that. If I'm in the house against them, I'm always going to be like, they're always together. There's no way that they're not going to vote same, like regardless. But is it a horrible game move? I don't know. Again, it's like the meta. I want the showmance to work. I've seen it work in Canada 1. You know, you kind of seen it work in Canada 2. It's like this is a viable game strategy eventually. Like this could work. And for whatever reason, you know, it should work eventually. I don't know. Will people pick up on it? I mean, the fact that they didn't vote out Jackie week 1 when she literally had a pair from outside the house. Like, if they didn't do that on week 1, then you're fine. You're totally fine. No one's going to give a shit. Like, because that is insane to me. That's bonkers. I would have wanted Jackie out 100% because of that pre-existing manse, I guess, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Any excuse, I think, to get rid of somebody, I mean, you take it. And yep. It was surprising that nobody took that shot. But, hey, good on Jackie for getting out of that predicament. Now, but you said something that I agree with Clay and Shelley, and that is that they're kind of just vanilla. I think that it's pretty rare. Usually in these showmances, you see, you know, one of the two of them at least is, like, a pretty big personality in some, yep. You know, in some aspect. And neither of these guys are. Is there a showmance you can think of in Big Brother history that you can compare these guys to?
Ooh, I mean, yeah, I mean, not even Canada 1. I don't know, because I think they're pretty unique, really. Because, I mean, they both aren't, they're both not feedsters, they're both not super fans. I, you know, like, Clay claims to be, and I've heard some of his knowledge, and the dude kind of knows, actually, like, he's, like, talked about some episode, or, like, some previous stuff that's going on, and he's schooled some people, but other than that, it's always like, shut up, Clay, you don't know what you're talking about. But, I mean, so, again, like, I think that, like, sometimes the problems are the things that happened in the past can cloud feedsters' minds of, like, oh, I don't want to make these mistakes, when, you know, some of those mistakes might actually work out. So I think that they kind of have that going from, like, kind of the ignorance of the game, you know, could actually work in their advantage of, like, ooh, you don't know, because they are both kind of laying low. Sure, Shelley's won 2 now, and everyone's kind of, like, on to Clay, but, I mean, there's so much wiggle room in this early part of the game. They could definitely make it to the mid game and then start to turn things up. I don't think they're in much trouble, especially with Shelley being HOH, but I can foresee, like, probably they've got another 2 weeks of, like, just safety, unless something bad happens, unless the pendulum swings the other way this week. They're probably going to be fine for a while. Again, Austin's such a big threat. Like, it's like between Austin or Clay, who would you want out? Oh, this dude knows more about Big Brother. This dude has a Big Brother tattoo. I'd rather go after Austin, you know? Clay is just a dumb guy that I could maybe have in my back pocket later. You know, that's why I don't think that they're going to go, you know, necessarily so soon. I don't know. I think that they definitely could do something. And being vanilla definitely helps them. They're just like, oh, we're bland.
Yeah, that's a good thing. And the one thing, as you were talking, I was trying to think of somebody, and the one duo that kind of came to mind, although not 100%, would be Drew and Diane from BB5.
Okay. Yeah, absolutely.
Like maybe them. I mean, Diane is a little more feisty, I think, than Shelly, but yeah. Drew, I think the Drew and Clay comparison is like.
That's on point.
That is him. That's him.
Absolutely.
I agree with you. I think that the fact that they aren't, you know, super big personalities, the fact that they are winning these competitions, I think that they'll be okay as a result of that. And also too, I think with Battle of the Block, I mean, people, there are more competitions. So people tend to forget that, hey, well, Shelly did win two HOHs, but if she doesn't say HOH this week, people are going to forget that she even won the second one. Right. Absolutely. I don't think it's going to put too much strain on their game. Okay. So McCray, we have talked about the television show. Now we are going to talk about spoilers, the live feeds. So if you want to tune out right now, you don't want to hear any of the spoilers. If you want, you can join us again after the Sunday show.
I'm also sorry if I spoiled anything while we were talking. I didn't know.
McCray, you didn't. It's okay. You didn't. I don't think you spoiled anything. So we're good to go. So if you want to tune out now, now is the time. We'll see you hopefully after the Sunday show, and you can hear the rest of this conversation then. Okay, McCray.
Yes.
Live feeds, spoilers. So Shelly and Liz/Julia are your head of household winners. Yep. So Liz has nominated Jackie and James for eviction, and Shelly has nominated Jason and surprise, surprise, Johnny Mac, the rock star dentist again.
Yeah.
Again, McCray.
Of course.
Third week in a row. I feel like, you know, last week, Johnny Mac said that he thought he was going through Groundhog Day. He's getting nominated again, and he's getting asked to throw the Battle of the Block again. Groundhog Day for me doing this.
They should
this
just
podcast.
Replay that clip. They should just take that clip and replay it again. You know, that'd be just perfect. But that's exactly what's happening. But the thing is that he's let himself get into this position. It's not the best position to be in. But at the same time, like, you're helping out the HOH. You're doing a favor for them. You're kind of making these bonds. Like, oh, you're putting me in a bad position. Like, what? Like, you know, he can use it for leverage. But the problem is that, like, eventually it might catch up with him, and that's definitely the scary thing. I don't know. I mean, I've heard talk that right before the nominations happened today that they talked, Clay brought him in and said, like, you're going to be the pawn. And he kind of agreed to it. After nominations, I hear Clay and Shelly saying that they told him that he's not going to be the pawn and they wanted to win it. I don't know if they're saying that for Audrey's sake, if they're telling lies. I don't know really what's exactly going to happen. I don't know if Johnny Mac is going to throw this one. Again, I feel like this week is the week where the pendulum might swing back, where it doesn't really matter if Liz or Shelly stays HOH because they're both kind of on the same side. I think that someone's probably going to put up one pawn, one target. I think that the pawn's going to go home this week, and because the rest of the house is going to be like middle fingers up, like, you think you can run this house, like, this is our time to, like, take it back. Pendulum's going to swing back, and then now that, like, just the momentum is going to flip. That's the way I kind of foresee this week going, at least for that other side of the house. They have to do that. They have to mount the defense right now and take back what's theirs.
Yeah, if they don't at this point, I mean, if they don't now, I mean, it's going to be too late soon. And I think that with Johnny Mac, McCray, he's in this spot where he's almost, like you said, he's kind of screwed because he's agreed to go up on the block and throw the Battle of the Block twice now. So, yep. I mean, it's almost, I mean, yeah, they were saying, okay, we said to him, okay, like, look, like, you can go ahead and win it. We wouldn't ask you to throw it again. But then Audrey was suggesting earlier, hey, Shelly, you should probably, you know, why don't you just ask Johnny to throw the Battle of the Block and we'll get rid of Jason, because they want to target Jason this week.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I just feel like on Sunday we're gonna be watching the show and Johnny Mac's gonna be in the DR and he's gonna be like, oh, hey, I'll throw the Battle of the Block again. It's gonna be
Amazing Johnny Mac impression. Spot on.
And then he's going to be winning the, and then he's going to win the veto. And then, then I don't know who's going to be going home, but
I don't know if it's going to happen again, especially with like his partner being Jason. I think that like they need to step it up. Like Johnny Mac is a decently powerful player. Like, I mean, the dude's won the vetoes, you know, two vetoes in a row now. Like he's got something going for him. Jason's the historian. This dude knows the game inside and out. Like, I think that those two need to win it. Then they'll have Jackie and James on the block. Literally doesn't matter between those two. I mean, everyone thinks like, oh, James is so blah, blah, blah. It's like, James doesn't do shit. And, you know, I think that other side of the house needs to mount up right here, right now. Flip everything that the HOHs think they know. Flip it on them and wait for the next HOH and win that sucker and start weeding them back out, you know, because I just don't see Jason rolling over. I feel like I also thought that this might be the week that they do the Frankie-esque from last season, the pulling the wires or whatever.
Oh, yes,
so,
okay,
you know,
yeah.
if Johnny Mac does choose to sit out, like, you know, I bet Jason's going to get up there and just strongman it out. Like, Jason, I love this kid so much.
Me too.
He's great, and I think that he has definitely a chance to go far. I just like him, and I want to see him do good. I'm afraid that he might be going this week if everyone's complacent. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think that I'm hoping for the scenario you described, and I think that this season could be on the downturn if Jason goes home, Johnny Mac throws the veto, whatever, and then just the Sixth Sense Alliance just powers through everybody. The twins come in the house, and then, you know, whatever happens.
Exactly.
But
once that twin goes in, then it's like game over for the rest of the house, like game over for your guys' side. Like, there's nothing you can do.
Yeah, unless the only thing I could think of potentially is that Liz did vote the opposite way this week to keep. She voted against James. She voted to keep Jeff, voting against the Sixth Sense Alliance. So maybe, and it seems like based on what was happening towards the end of this week, there's sort of some cracks starting to form in that alliance, at least on Liz's end, because of the whole, you know, Austin thing. So maybe we could see if the twins come in, they're like, they think, okay, just like Adrian, Natalie, and Big Brother 5, they're like, okay, well, we're strong now. We can go do our own thing. We'll go off on our own with the other side of the house. But it depends. I think that if Liz stays HOH, Liz and Julia stay HOH, it'll be interesting because they can potentially form some new relationships and some bonds that can help them moving forward in the game if they want to, you know, jump ship and flip sides. Now, the question I have for you, McCray, is week 4, Big Brother 15. Keep going back to Big Brother 15 here, but this is a good parallel again, and that is week 4, MVP twist, okay? The first 3 weeks, Alyssa gets it every single time. Clearly, it's broken. So, yeah. Brodner says, okay, America is MVP now. Now, we're going to have probably 3 weeks in a row of Johnny Mac going on the block and Johnny Mac throwing the battle of the block and then winning the veto. Whatever, it's probably going to happen all over again. It's going to be three weeks in a row.
Yep.
Battle of the block, I mean, I want it to work, but right now it's sort of broken. Is there anything potentially the producers could do to fix this, or are we?
That's what I was trying to figure out earlier, because I was thinking that's the thing, is like Battle of the Block could be an interesting concept, but the parameters of it are like broken, essentially. Like it doesn't, I know in their head they're like, oh yeah, it's gonna be awesome, there's gonna be like four big dogs going at it, it's gonna be just awesome to watch, you know. But it's like, well, this is like, it pretty much, no, just put in floaters and like we can control whatever happens, like always, you know, like the players outsmarted the rules of the game. So I don't know what the parameters would be that you'd put. I don't know. Pretty much to me, it's like, just get rid of Battle of the Block. Bring back America's MVP. Just do that for 1 week at least. Just who cares? Like, if it's going to be like the twist takeover, all sorts of twists from all seasons, might as well just like get rid of Battle of the Block now, throw an MVP this week. Next week, it can be a coach comes in. Who the hell knows? But I don't know what to do about Battle of the Block. I want it to work, but it's just I don't know. I don't know the parameters that you have to set up to like make it so that big dogs go at it. I just don't know.
Yeah, I think the Big Brother's gotten a little bit unlucky in the fact that it seems like over and over and over again, the people that win these dual HOH competitions are on the same page. It's not people from opposite sides of the house. And I think that is what the producers, at least in my mind, I think that's what they're hoping for, is two people from opposite sides of the house win, and then the HOH that loses, that is dethroned, gets backdoored, because that's something that was promoted last season, something in the preseason, something that was promoted again this season when Julie Chen was talking about Battle of the Block.
Very good point.
That is a moment that Big Brother is waiting for. They're clamoring for this moment, and they just haven't gotten it yet. So I think until we get that, we're just going to be stuck with it, unfortunately, which kind of sucks.
And absolutely. I'm
with you. I've been trying to think of ways in which they could fix it and, you know, come up with something, but I'm kind of stumped. But I'm with you. I would like to see, you know, throw in an MVP twist. Throw in,
Something different than Battle of the Block. Yeah. Like,
throw
just
in
cut your losses.
Yeah,
exactly. Clicks, like, would be interesting. Just, like, everyone chooses out of a bag. I don't know. Just something crazy. Like, just get rid of this Battle of the Block and just cut your losses. I'm sorry. Like, I get it. I get what you're trying to do, but I don't know.
Yeah, and I think with this season, with the BB Takeover, if you're ever going to cut your losses on a twist, I think this is the season, because like
they
we were
built
saying,
it
like,
in for themselves. Yeah, they've built it in to do it.
You can write it as it goes, really. So
exactly.
I think, right? So I think that now is the time if you're ever going to do that. And we're going to talk about, we're going to take some questions in a sec here. You can tweet us your questions using the hashtag RHAP or leave us comments on the comment section on YouTube. But before we get into that, McCray, one question for you, just a quick one. We were talking about Audrey. You were comparing her to Alyssa earlier. Do you think that Audrey is now at a point in the game? She's safe. I mean, she's not nominated. She's not the target this week. I would be very shocked if she's the one who walks out the door on next Thursday. Is she in a point in which the target is so big it's invisible, to quote Dr. Will?
I don't know if I would say that. Well, because here's like I heard them throw around her name. She's pretty much an escape plan. She's pretty much like, you know, plan B. Like if everything goes to hell, I think that she's plan B and that's pretty much her role. But from her perspective, she's in such a good place right now. Like she just has to, again, just sit back, just be pretty, be quiet, don't do anything, just chill out, you know, like, but the problem is she keeps getting everywhere and running her mouth and trying to stir shit up, you know. I think that she's looking for all-stars. In my honest opinion, I think that the way she's playing, everything about it is like, well, I'm probably going to go home, so I might as well just make a splash and I'm going to be back for all-stars. Like, she's playing for all-stars in a way. I think that she has the wiggle room to just keep on going. I think that the target is very big on her back. I think Godfrey really did the target on the back. Like, he took the Dr. Will idea and he used it, and it didn't seem like Dr. Will, even though, like, I don't remember, like, if you guys kind of even alluded to it or what, but, like, I think that he kind of took that and he worked it, and it actually worked for him. I think that Audrey, the problem is, I think that it's not big enough yet for her. I think that it's small, or it's smaller to the point where it's like, oh, yeah, she'll always be plan B. She, like, we can always just get her out, like. But the other thing is that I guess you are kind of right. Like, she's the kick the can down the road method, where it's like, well, not this week, next week. She's next week, which is that target kind of thing. I just worry. I just worry because it's like, I just feel like if the pendulum does swing back this week, she might be the one to go, even though that's not what that side wants. Not or the rest of the house. Like,
yeah,
that would be a bad, like, they should want to keep Audrey around also. They should want to try to get rid of a pawn, like a weak player, just to make a splash or just make a, you know, statement to the HOH. Like, no, we're not doing this no more. I don't know. Audrey is such a fascinating player in this game, just because it's like, I don't know what she's doing. I think she's crazy as hell, which I love because it's great drama, great entertainment. She's constantly, her wheels are spinning in her head, thinking about new ways to squirm and wiggle her way out of every situation. And the problem is that she's not even in a situation and she's still squirming and wiggling, where it's like, okay, you got out, you're fine, just chill out now. So I mean, I think that literally the game is in her hands, and it depends on what she wants to do. If she wants to play for All-Stars, then you kick her out now. Like, if that's how you're going to do it, just kick her out right now. Let her be on All-Stars, because she's coming back. But she has to keep her mouth shut and just sit back. She's got to just take a page out of Jackie's book, in my opinion. I don't know.
I totally agree with you on that one. And I think it's weird now. I think you're starting, again, we were talking about the ages of Big Brother. We're in this third age of Big Brother in which, yeah, that's a thing. People are now playing the game, thinking about All Stars on their initial season before they're thinking about winning. And it's like, it's just mind boggling. It's just think about your own game. You're only going to probably have one shot at this. Take your shot and try your best to win. Don't worry about all this, you know, All Star stuff.
Like trying to be, big personality or blue. I don't know. I kind of always think that where it's like, I'd rather make it far in the game and like get really close to winning by fucking laying low than to be like, whoa, I'm a crazy personality and go home week two. Like, not my kind of game. I don't want to be that guy. I'd rather go far. I don't care. I don't know.
Yeah, no, I'm with you 100%. I think that most super fans probably would have the same perspective on that one.
Even though everyone on the internet hates it. Everyone like, whoa, why? Everyone goes crazy, like, do something. I'm like, no. Once you get in here, you'll realize, people, just sit back. Like,
no, it's true, 100%. And yeah, I mean, as somebody who went out early on my season, I would have killed to make it far in the game.
But I mean, you made it to jury. Like, jury is like, that's good enough. Or like, not
yeah, that's
good
true.
Enough.
That is
but
true.
Like,
that's
man,
good. That's
it's
good.
Like, yeah, if I would have went home anything before jury, I would have been so disappointed in myself. Like, making it to jury is like, and like people say, like, well, you should be trying to make it to the end of the game. But it's like, no. Like, my life, like, I'm not trying to, like, there's only one winner. Like, I literally went to, like, they were like, so what are you going to do when you win Big Brother? When I was in the casting process. And I was like, I don't think I'm going to win Big Brother. Like, sure, I'm a glasses half empty kind of person. But, like, I'm a realist, I feel like, where it's like, well, there's a lot of people and I'm a shithead. Like, I'm not going to win it, but I'm going to try my damnedest. You know, I'm going to make it as far as I can. And, you know, I'm happy. And you should be happy, too, because, man, jury – that's what you want to make it to. Get to jury and then just like, then it's like amp up, you know?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, no, for sure. Obviously we all want to win, but agreed. My realistic goal going in was to make jury and that's what I did. So,
absolutely. You got it. You got it.
And here I am on this podcast with you. So it's great.
Absolutely, dude. Okay. Well, now you're going to have people like, next year of Canada, you know, they're going to be people like, oh, I can't wait to get out and have Jordan do my interview. You know, like what you guys are saying about me and Spencer, like it, just wait until you hear that, man. Your mind is going to blow apart.
I will believe it when I see it, McCray. we will see. But let's get into the questions here. We've got some questions here from people tweeting us and leaving comments. Okay, this first one's from John Clark, and he asks, are the producers discontinuing the BB Takeover since this season has been very, very good, or they don't want to be another Big Brother Canada 3? So I think John is referring to the fact that this week is 90s week in the BB 17 house, and we don't really know what the twist is, but it's not game related. Whereas the first two twists were game related. The last two have been, you know, the Gronk party, shower party, hot tub party, and then the 90s week. So McCray, what do you think about this? Do you think that that is why? Do you think they, you know, they had this set up beforehand? What do you think?
I don't know about like having it set up beforehand. I think that the reason that there hasn't been like someone coming in and saying stuff yet. I mean, there's just too much to show on the Thursday episode. I'm guessing that definitely something's going to happen. Like there's gotta be some sort of person that comes in because they promised us, you know, every week there's going to be someone, at least what you can imagine for 6 weeks, probably they'll do it and then they'll end it. But like someone's got to come in. There's gotta be something. There's gotta be some sort of twist. I don't think it has anything to do with Big Brother Canada. I don't think that even like this setup has anything to do with Big Brother Canada 3, you know? I think it's just kind of coincidental maybe. They're going to do something. They have to do something. I feel like they're going to kind of feel out how this battle of the block maybe goes. And then I think they might try to be like, all right, well, here we go. Like, this is what we're going to do. We're going to do some, just try to switch stuff up. But I don't know. Who knows what Big Brother has? And pretty much all that matters is like how the people in the house deal with this kind of stuff. You know, one of the biggest things about Big Brother is you know that there's going to be a twist. I don't really particularly care about any of the twists. I care about how the people react and deal with the twists that are given to them. I think that's like pretty much the staple of a true good player is how they react to these twists, how they, you know, change up their strategy because of twists and the possibility of twists. You know, I always be thinking. Vanessa and Austin are kind of getting themselves into this bad headspace with thinking that there's going to be America's player, Audrey's America's player. And like, and that's the problem is you dwell on things in the Big Brother house. But I like that the fact that they're thinking about this kind of stuff. Will their brains go too far and, you know, manifest this kind of thing into the house and you screw up their games because of it? Who knows? But just, again, the fact that they're thinking about it, the good players will get around it. They'll figure out a way to get around it. They'll accurately predict it. Bad players, they'll just be pissed off by the twist. So to me, again, it doesn't really matter. What matters is how everyone deals with the twist. That's what I like to see.
I think that's a good way to look at that, McCray. And I think that not a lot of people do view it that way. But like you said, again, this is the common theme of this episode together with this conversation, you know, the evolving, the game it's evolving and you do have to, that's a part of Big Brother now is these twists and you got to be able to read and react and adapt to these twists. And you got to be prepared. You got to be ready. You can't be, you know, I've heard Austin yesterday saying, oh, we're going to win the next like two HOHs and all this stuff. Blah, blah. Yeah. You can't anticipate that kind of stuff. You got to be, you know, play it in the moment. And it's about relationships at the end of the day. If you have the correct relationships, you know, you're not gonna be able to defend against every twist. And yes, some twists such as the coup de Jeff are invincible. There's nothing you can do to stop that.
Absolutely.
But there is a way as well to, you know, adapt to these twists. And I'm with you on that one.
100%.
Okay, so Zachary Klein asks, question, do you think that Shelly and Clay could make it farther together than you and Amanda McCray?
Ooh, that's a good one. I think that they like, I don't put anything past anyone. I think that if they played their cards right, if they had the right relationships, like you're saying, like they definitely could go far and they could go farther than me and Amanda. I mean, we made it pretty far. I think she went out seventh. I went out fourth. Like we did pretty decent. Again, like whoever gets past pretty much what me and Amanda did as a showmance, like they should have it signed, sealed, and delivered to them. So I don't know. It really depends on it's so early in the game to even tell. I'd love to see them do better. I want to see that meta evolve. I want to see the meta of a showmance working like it did on Big Brother Canada 1. I want to see that so badly on our U.S. season so people can shut the hell up about, oh, showmances always fail. And because they've always failed means they'll never succeed in the future, which is a fallacy of logic, which boggles my mind. I just want to see that put to rest. I don't know. I hope for the best for them. I want them to do better than me and Amanda. Absolutely.
All right. Miss Chris asks, thoughts on Steve's vote to evict James. Did he think Jeff was staying or did he intend to cause some paranoia? Now, I think I know the answer to this one, McCray.
What do you say first. I've got it locked up. I think that Steve like did it on purpose. I think he knew what he was doing.
Yes.
I think that I don't think anyone gives him credit, even on the outside world out here. I don't think anyone gives him credit. Everyone thinks he's just a dumb little kid that doesn't know Jack. Like this kid knows what the hell's going on. He knows like, sure, he might not be the most socially savvy person, but I think he still knows what's going on. I'm not the most socially savvy person, like, but I still know what's going on. Like, you don't have to know every single cue in the book, and he's not totally hapless. Like, he doesn't, like, I think that no one gives this kid credit. Like, I think he has a phenomenal game. He's hooked up with John now, and they've got some sort of alliance going, which to me is fantastic. I love the Steve John alliance. That's the best thing ever. But I think that Steve definitely threw that vote out there to create mischief, to throw blame around so he can do whatever he wants. I think that he got super lucky, though, with Liz's vote, because I think otherwise he would have been super screwed. I think he would have been found out a lot sooner. But I think that I think he definitely was trying to create mischief and he's trying to play something different, do something different. And of course, why would you ever suspect the little innocent kid? You know, I love it. I love this kid. I love Steve and I hate to condescend to him by calling him a kid, but man, I love him. I love him.
I love Steve too. Steve's great. He's the guy I'm rooting for the most. I love Johnny Mac, but I gotta root for my boy Steve. I think he's doing a great job. And yeah, I'm with you. I think that he's just doing that to create, you know, cause a ruckus and you know, create some paranoia in the house. And that's the easiest way to do it, really, is just by voting the wrong way. And you saw it with Vanessa last night on the live feeds.
Oh yeah,
she was kind of losing her mind a little bit, saying like, "Well, who did you vote for? What happened?" Yeah. And she was going up to Steve, and Steve was like, "No, no, it wasn't me." Which I mean, watching that, I was like, okay, I can kind of tell he's lying, but to her, she had no clue.
Who knows?
So it, you know, it worked out
and
well.
It takes cojones, man. Like, I couldn't do it. I could not do that. Like, I would have loved to throw out the hinky vote to be the one that's like plain crazy, but like, I don't have the cojones to do it. You know, this kid, like, he did it. And to me, I'm just like, I just want to salute him because it's awesome. Like, nothing but, it just makes me so happy. It makes me so happy that he did that. I'm obsessed with that vote. Everything about it was just bonkers. And again, me, you, Ian, I think we, and Steve, we all played the same archetype. Like, we are the same archetype of like the nerd guy. Like, what are we doing? You know, like, and I love that. And that's like, we have to carry after our own. We have to follow each other. We have to be best friends. Best friends alliance starting now.
All right. The new friendship. The new friendship will be our alliance when it's Big Brother North America All Stars.
Oh, I can't wait.
All right. Andrew Kirk says, question for McCray: who do you think wears the pants in the Shelly Clay showmance? Wow, a lot of these Shelly and Clay questions here. McCray, who wears the pants?
That's a good question. Because a lot of people during Shelly's first HOH were like, oh, Clay's running Shelly, blah, blah, blah. But the more I sat there and kind of looked and like kind of picked apart that kind of relationship, it seemed like Shelly was more demanding of Clay, or she was more like, oh, this is how it is. She takes kind of the motherly role. I hate to like kind of put it into those parlances, but I definitely think that like she does kind of take the motherly role of like, all right, here's what it is. She's like more nurturing. She's more like, all right, I know the game better. Like, you're just a young little kid, Clay. Like, and to me, like, who cares? Because Clay, I think he kind of knows what's going on. He talks a lot of game. He's doing his job as a part of the two people. So I think that I think Shelly probably does a little bit more, but I think that it's a pretty nice balance between the two. And I think they're definitely covering their bases. I mean, not 100%, but I think that their dynamic is perfect. I think their dynamic is so perfect to actually work well in this house. They both can separate out. 2 ears are better than one, so they can both be in two separate conversations and come back, reconvene, and talk, you know. And I think that even though they're perceived as a couple, I think that they can still do good. They can still do good. There's no one that's like the, oh, I'm the one that wears the pants. Like, I think it's very, very, it's between both of them. I think they both wear the pants every once in a while.
So no Amanda in this relationship?
No Amanda. No Amanda in this relationship.
Okay. all right. Girl TV says, why did CBS not air any of Jeff's pickish behavior? Did it have any effect on his game? Now, McCray, we saw this week there was they kind of gave Jeff the dodo edit, sort of. Yep. I think that was their way of doing this. What do you think about that? Do you think that's kind of why, and they just didn't really want to bring light to it? Or
well, all right. So here's what I like. When I used to be so like, when I was in the house, I'd be so upset because I'd be like, you guys will never ever show Alyssa being Alyssa. Like, you'll never ever show that because of Alyssa Army. Like, but like the way that they explain it to me is like, well, until it becomes a thing that's talked about in the house regularly, it's like we won't show it. Like, it doesn't matter. So I think that like Jeff's piggish behavior didn't ever like cross the line for people in the house, that it became a thing that people in the house talked about all the time, enough to the point where it becomes a part of the storyline, which we'd show. And that's the reason why he went home. I think that Jeff's being a kind of a bird brain dodo, like you said, I think that that obviously was a part of the reason why he left. And I think that's part of the why that it became a part of the storyline. And that's pretty much how the game works, or the show works, I should say.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that when you only have 3 hours a week to show, a HOH competition, a Battle of the Block competition, a Power Veto competition, nominations, all this stuff, I think it's kind of hard to, like you said, fit that into the show when it's not a main storyline. People aren't, clamoring over it in the house. They're not talking about it all the time. And I think that is the issue there. And that's why it didn't.
And it's the same. It's the same reason that James probably, it won't ever come to light, like, that James says a lot of the same piggish behavior that Jeff does. Like, it'll never come to light because it's like, it's not that big of a storyline. Like, all the feeders, we see it, but it's like, well, who cares about us?
Very, very small percentage of the viewing audience, really. And I think that's why. So,
absolutely.
Totally Offside asks, question for McRae, how do you compare Johnny Mac's game to Spencer's game? I'm seeing similarities.
Spencer's game, the problem with Spencer's game was that he was in a part of a big alliance that I sold down the creek, and Spencer became, he got a scarlet letter essentially from that. Like, he was ostracized pretty much, and like, his game worked because he was ostracized and he had to play from like, oh, I'm just gonna lay in bed and sit back and like play it cool, like I don't want to be a part of anything because I'm already on the outs. Johnny Mac's game is a little bit different because he's not really on the outs. He's very more complicit with like everything that's going on. He's aware of what's going on. He's being brought into conversations, being like, oh yeah, this is what's going to happen. So I think that it's kind of a different situation. I think them both being on the block, though, that's like the main similarity. And I think that if Johnny Mac plays his cards right, he can use the same kind of arguments that Spencer kind of used to keep going, where it's like, well, I'm just going to, like, I've already been on the block. Like, that's one person that's going to sit on the block that I don't have to sit on the block next to, or, you know, like, I'm not the one that's sitting on the block. Spencer will just sit on the block, and then whoever's sitting next to him will go home. Like, he's a placeholder. And I think Johnny Mac could definitely fall into that kind of groove of the placeholder, which is definitely a scary place to be. But I think Spencer kind of paved the way for this strategy of like, well, I guess technically Dr. Will paved the way for the strategy. But I think, for this new meta of the game, I think it's definitely a viable strategy. And I think that if Johnny Mac, is smart enough and savvy enough and tactical enough, I think that he can definitely work that angle.
Yeah, and he can maneuver his way through it. I think that, absolutely, it's definitely possible. Is it likely? I don't know. That remains to be seen. But I hope that for all of our sake, watching this guy in the show, we all love him. So I'm hoping
he can we want him to stay around forever. Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. Miss Chris asks, and this will be our last question before we go to, I've got one more patron question that I'm going to ask you, McRae. So this is the second last question. So Miss Chris asks, would Battle of the Block work if the losers of the comp were given horrible punishments like have-nots or solitary confinement?
McRae. Ooh, I kind of like that. I like that. That seems like a good, because Johnny Mac wouldn't want to take that. Like, if it's something that's bad, like, it has to be worse. Like, have-nots is pretty miserable. But, I mean, like, if you took it and made it like, oh, yeah, your have-nots, plus it's something else, like, you got to scrub toilets. Or just, like, something. Like, I mean, that definitely would be a good motivation to be like, screw that, I'm not losing. Like, I don't care, like, how much you, like, it has to be something so bad that no matter what, like, you would want to go. Like, I don't know. I guess that's a good idea. Yeah, I like where they're going with that.
Yeah, I think that it's, you know, it's maybe a little bit of potential, but I think that, you know, the scrubbing toilets thing, I think, well, Shannon from BB2 would like that twist. Yeah. So I don't really know if it would work if she were to be on the show again. Yeah. But otherwise, I think maybe, but at the same time, does it really prevent the HOH or the HSOH from asking people to throw the competitions from nominating the same people over and over again? I don't really know if that solves that problem.
The inverse of that is essentially offer money, like money to those who win, you know, where it's like, no one's going to want like $5,000 to the winner, like $5,000 to each of the people that win. Like, wouldn't that be the converse of it where it's like, all right, well, I gotta like, I'm not giving up money. I'm going to play my heart out. And then everyone's going to be wanting to play for money. Like, who cares? Like, maybe that's.
Yeah, that actually, and you think about it, like how much money was shelled out for Team America, last season? Like there had to been, they got a lot of money, right?
Yeah,
and I think that, I mean, $5,000 a week. I mean, that actually wouldn't be that bad. So I think I think you might be onto something there, McCray.
Yeah.
You give money to the winners of the competition because why would you ever want to throw that? Everybody's here to win some money. Right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's like, whenever they like dangled money in front of me, it's like, I'll throw away my game. Like, I'm a pizza delivery boy. I need the damn money. Like, I don't care what anyone says. You threw away your, no, I'm here for money. Like, I need money. Like, I'm sorry, Helen, you've got great a job, blah, blah, blah. Like, no, I need money, damn it. I think that's kind of, that would be a good idea. Like, dangle that little carrot above them.
You're not a politician, McCray?
No, I'm not a science guy.
You should run for office, McCray.
I want to run for school board in my hometown. I want to do it so bad.
They're in Oak Grove, you're going to run for on the school board. This is that. I would vote for you. I would come fly in to Minnesota just to vote for you. I don't know if I would be allowed to, but I'll campaign for you. Absolutely, we'll promote it on the podcast.
Let's
be like, vote McCray Olson for school board.
Absolutely. I'm going to make a change, baby. Change you can believe in.
Oh, that would be great. Okay. Last question here. And this comes to us from the RHAP patron group. If you're interested in becoming a patron of Rob Has a Podcast and the benefits of doing so, you can go to robhaswebsite.com/patron. And this question comes from Matt Ligori. And he asks, McCray, Jordan, what are your power rankings for the DR so far? Give us your top five. So McCray, Diary Rooms, how would you rank them thus far?
All right. So maybe we'll start at...
You want to start at five or you want to start at one?
Like one is easier because I know exactly who's number one. Five is tougher because I'm trying to work backwards right now. What do you got? You got anything first? You got
What do you want to do? Do you want to include everybody from the whole season or do you want to just go?
No. Left? Let's go from who's left, I think. Because because Devon was killer in the
day. Dave was so good. Dave was great.
So great. Yeah.
Okay. So I think number one, I think we can agree. I think it's Johnny Mack, the rock star dentist. If anyone else disagrees, I think that you're probably not watching this show. So that's number one. Number two, this is a hard one.
I think it's Jason. I like all the stuff Jason says. Like, I think that like he's got a lot of good like one-liners and stuff like that. I think he's pretty good for sure.
Okay, yeah, I would agree with that. I think Jason's good. Trying to think here, who else? This is a hard one. This is making for the greatest podcasting here. I guess. Is there anyone really beyond Jason?
So just talking about it, I'd say Austin because of that on last night's episode where what did he say about him and Liz? That was the most cringeworthy thing I've seen in recent years, where it's just my soul, it bleeds, and the emptiness is a longing that's dark and cold. It was just like some baloney. Like, get out of here.
You can't relate to the history of romantic literature. Somebody who has one of the who has a master's degree in that, by the way. The Austin thing. Yeah, I think he said it fill the emptiness that is in my heart. And it's just like, what are you saying? That was cringeworthy. So we're gonna put Austin at three.
At three, amazing, amazing DR.
Okay, and then beyond that, I guess maybe James.
James, because all of his like stupid country boy, like
right.
Taking a bullfrog off a bull log. I don't know, it's crazy.
And then
it's entertaining. The other one that I would think is like Liz and Julia, because I like watching them interact and be like, "Oh, what are you doing? Like, no, pay attention." And they're like screwing around and stuff. Like they're trying to like get this information relayed, but they're also changing. Just like, I think that stuff is kind of funny. It's interesting. It's not necessarily noteworthy DRs, but I think just that interaction is kind of interesting. Especially if you haven't seen them interact yet.
Yeah, that was hilarious. And I really hope that they both get in specifically for that reason, just so we can see more of this twin banter between the two. And,
it's like two people that are in the house that we don't get to see interact ever, except for when they're in the DR, which is like, so it's like those little interactions are like golden because we don't get to see those on the feed. So, it looks like they just started playing Battle of the Block, a live feeds update.
There we go. Can I end this thing? We're probably going to know the Battle of the Block winner. So maybe we're going to have to redo this whole podcast. And
sound like a bunch of idiots. Yeah.
Okay. McCray, thank you so much for joining me. And thank you guys, everybody who tuned in today, for watching this podcast and watching us live, hanging out with us. If you're listening to this in the audio archives, thank you very much. If you want to subscribe to this podcast, you can do so by going to robeswebsite.com/rahappyhour. That's spelled rahap. So just like happy hour with an R at the front. And then the huge favor that you guys could do for me is if you could leave a review for this podcast on iTunes, leave us a rating, tell us what you think about this show. That'll help more people find this podcast. And for everybody who does so between now and the end of the season, I'm going to put you guys in a draw to win a 30-minute Skype call with yours truly, which, hey, I don't really know if that's a very good prize. As a broke student who's currently unemployed, that is the best thing I can offer you. So if you could please do that, I would be forever grateful. Thank you very much.
Yeah, let me tell you, folks, it's awesome talking to Jordan. It's so much fun. This is definitely worth it. Everyone go do it right now because I love talking to you every single time, man. It's always
McCray,
great.
Thank you, McCray. Appreciate it. Thank you very much, my friend. Hashtag for this episode, if you guys want to, if you made it all the way to the end of this show and you want to thank us, McCray, I was thinking hashtag Will Gretzky. What do you think about that?
Will Gretzky. I love it.
Okay. So if you want to tell McCray and I what you thought of this show, if you liked it, if you didn't like it, had some thoughts, tweet us using the hashtag Will Gretzky. McCray's Twitter handle is @McCrayChum. I am @JordanParhar. McCray, anything you want to plug? Anything on the block happening coming up soon?
We just got done with our Jeff interview with On the Block. So if you want to kind of, it's like little, it's a little baby, one, just check it out. We do a lot of like Big Brother talk. This is what you can consider us a sister show to this one. Like, we both cover similar topics. We both kind of get into the nooks and crannies of the game. If you don't have your fill of Big Brother awesomeness from Jordan yet, go check out On the Block. We would love it. I think that's pretty much it. I mean, yeah.
Check it out. On the Block. Yeah, it's a great show. I love your podcast. You especially do a great job.
Yeah.
And definitely recommend it. Check it out. It's great. You guys are, how many times a week do you guys do it again?
Oh my God. We try to do like three and it's always just like crazy schedule. We never know. But like what's 100% confirmed is we have press now. So we got press credentials. So we get to interview the newest house guests when they come out on Friday. So guaranteed episodes Friday. Other than that, we're all over the page. So just subscribe to our YouTube channel. That's when you know first. We're always over the place. And you can, follow me on Twitter. I'm always talking about when we're doing On the Block. So, yeah.
Awesome. Okay, McCray. Well, thank you so much. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. For McCray Olson, I'm Jordan Parhar. Hashtag Will Gretzky. Talk to you soon. Peace out.